Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Private Officer Talk Radio. I'm your host, Rick McCann, founder and executive director of Private Officer International. Wow, we're so glad to have you here today. If you are a first-time listener, welcome to the show. We're glad to have you. We hope that you'll sit back and enjoy what we have in store over the next 60 minutes for you. As always, we have a hot topic to discuss today, along with all of the breaking news stories involving security and police throughout the nation and around the world. We also have a great deal of news to tell you about what's going on here at Private Officer International. We're glad that the weather has cleared up. It's a beautiful spring day in the metro area, and we're looking forward to spring. We love spring and fall, our two favorite times of years. But that's enough of the weather forecast for our area. Again, if you are joining us from around the world, we're glad that you're listening. Hello to our friends in the UK, Blackpool, England, our friends there in Toronto, Kenny there in San Bernardino, California. We're glad that you are with us on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network today. We're so glad to be with you because so much is happening here at Private Officer. Well, let me ask you this. Did you remember, if you live here in the U.S., to turn your clocks ahead? If you're like me, you probably ran around the house last night, long before bedtime, turning every clock ahead an hour so that you wouldn't forget to do it before going to bed. And if you're not like me and some others, then you probably will miss this show completely today, and you'll have to catch it on a demand podcast. Because when you come to listen to us in an hour from now, we won't be here. We'll be gone because right now it's 4 p.m., 4:02 p.m. Eastern time. So if you forgot to turn your clock ahead, you're going to be late for the party. But for those of you who remember to turn your clock ahead here in the U.S., we're glad that you have made it on time. Remember, anytime that we're on the radio live, you can email us with your questions, comments, or other items to radio@privateofficer.com. radio@privateofficer.com. Also, I'd like to send out an invitation today. If you are an interesting character in the private security or law enforcement field, you are a trainer, a director of security, a manager, or just one of us hourly wage, low security officer types, and you'd like to be involved in the radio process, you can join us here live on an upcoming broadcast. Just email me at radio@privateofficer.com and tell me what subject you'd like to discuss, and we'll be glad to have you. We have a lot of different shows planned for the upcoming days and weeks ahead, so if you would are maybe somebody who has some training items, or maybe something major has happened recently. You've been involved in a great apprehension or arrest or something of that nature. Please send me an email at radio@privateofficer.com, and we'd love to have you as a guest on our program. Later in today's broadcast, everybody else can join us because we're going to have a call-in segment. We do that from time to time, and we hope that if you are out there listening, wherever it might be, that you will take a moment to call in. We have a very interesting subject that we'll be talking about later in the program today. That subject is the use of force, and the consequences that come with that. And it is not something to be taken lightly. And we'll go more deeper in depth with that later in the show. We'd also like to take a moment here in the radio program to recognize a few of our folks, our friends, associates, and members who are having birthdays this week. We will do that at a regular interval here on our program from now on. We'd like to say happy birthday to Leslie Turvey. Leslie is a member and the owner of Northwest Patrol. I believe we mentioned their folks there a few times, but we know that they're listening. So happy birthday to Leslie, and we hope that you have many more to come. Fran Carpenter. Fran is down in beautiful Miami Beach, Florida, and we hope that you are really enjoying your day in the sunny Atlantic coastline there in Florida. And we hope that you've had a happy birthday as well and that you have many, many more to come. We are so glad to be able to share your birthday in some small way with you. Also today, we'd like to recognize a few folks who have gone through recent training with the Public Safety Training Institute and recently completed their training. And it's very important, extremely important that you participate in as much training, whether it be offered through Private Officer International or Public Safety Training Institute or some other community college or local site there in your hometown that offers security and law enforcement training. It's very important that you have as much training as possible for many reasons. First of all, training equates to money. Training equates to money. Think about it. Those who have a lot of training, those with college degrees, generally are paid more than those that have none. If you are looking to stay in the security industry, the more certificates of completion, the more programs that you can go through, the more education and training that you can get, the better chance that you're going to be promoted or that you're going to be able to go out and get a more substantial position, because having interviewed hundreds and possibly maybe close to 1,000 people during my career so far for various positions, I can tell you that when I'm looking at resumes, resumes don't really speak very loudly to me. And many times people are out searching for jobs and they just aren't getting any callbacks and they're wondering why. Resumes really don't speak very loudly. But if you have attachments, if you have certificates of training, if you have degrees, if you have other sources of knowledge and experience, that's what employers look for. So we have 40 individual courses that we offer currently online and 10 certifications, which our certifications are being recognized not only by states, but by employers and other owners of companies around the world. We have students now online taking courses from numerous countries, and we invite you to explore those opportunities that are available to you, because we have some great, great training and courses that I don't think that you're going to be able to match any place, and they are relatively inexpensive. If you are looking to become a certified asset protection professional and you are a member of Private Officer, it's just $75. If you're not a member, it's $129, and you just can't beat that. Anyway, today we are going to recognize Michael Soper. Michael is a director of security and safety for a large hotel chain in Boston, Massachusetts. He recently completed his 200-question exam and became a certified asset protection professional. Michael is also certified by the hotel security industry and several other recognizable associations, and we congratulate Michael for his accomplishment. Robert Kurtz from Dayton, Ohio, recently completed the Certified Security Officer course. Robert is a longtime security professional, supervisor. Also, he has certifications from several organizations, so he understands the benefits and the need of the training, not only because it's important in your career steps if you are going to progress in the security industry, but it's also for life-saving knowledge that you can use every day on your job. Danny Martinez of New Jersey. Danny is he's completed his security officer certification, and he's currently taking another certification in school security. He is employed at a city school system in New Jersey, and so we applaud Danny for his continuing advancements in the security industry and his desire to learn as much as he can about the chosen field that he's in. David Solomon, I believe he is in Illinois, but I'm not sure. He's in Michigan. My mistake. Sorry, David. He's completed his certification in church security, and we congratulate him. And Ken Roberts. Ken is in Illinois, and he's completed his certification in church security. If you are a security director, if you are a member of a church, if you are involved in the community in any way, you want to have as much knowledge in the field that you're involved in. And I applaud people who want to continue to learn. I learn something new every day myself, and I won't go into all of my educational background experiences and so forth, but you know, I've got a little bit of training in 36 years in this field and a few degrees under my belt, but I learn every day. And if you're in an industry, if you're in business, if you're living, you have to learn something every day because nobody knows everything. There's a lot of people who think they do, but nobody really knows everything. So I really applaud people who want to continue their education. And I invite you to take a look online at privateofficer.com and go to our training division. And you'll be able to see all the various topics of training and the certifications that we offer, and they're growing. We're actually going to be working with Michael up in Boston to put together a new hotel certification, security certification program, and we're also in the midst of putting together a certification program for mall and retail security. So take a look online at privateofficer.com. If you are a trainer, if you are involved in security instruction someplace and you'd like to have input on training, or you'd like to see a course written, or you'd like to become one of our writers and instructors, we invite you to send your resume and information to adminassist@privateofficer.com. Adminassist@privateofficer.com. One other note in this area that I'd like to make, we have a lot of listeners in the UK and Canada and South Africa and all around the world, Australia. And we want to reach out to you today if you're listening either to our live program or on demand. If you are a trainer, if you're a security manager involved there, email us and let us know, because we'd like some additional information from your country, from your specific area, because the laws are a little different in every country and because the requirements and duties and responsibilities are a little different. So send us some general information, and we will be able to better train your country security officers. In Kettering, Ohio, we'd like to salute Don McEwiston. I believe that's how you pronounce his name. He is a court security officer with the Kettering Police Department in Ohio. He recently was presented a commendation for performing CPR on an inmate who had collapsed in court. Don was able to use CPR to save the life of James T. Brown. And so congratulations, Officer McEwiston. And even though you're not a member of the association, we reach out to all security officers worldwide. In the emails this week, very quickly, Jim from Kansas wrote in and said, thank you for all that you do. This is a first-time listener and someone who was not aware of the association. And, Jim, we're glad that we are helping as many security, private security personnel around the world as possible. Karen from Florida wrote in, membership benefits are great, and I am enjoying the discounts. Bryce wrote in, not really sure where Bryce is. He didn't say. He did say, however, that he has 16 years as a private security officer. It's a great association that you have, and appreciate all that you do. We have a couple of things to mention also before we go any further, we are asking you, if you are in the private security industry, any place around the world, whether you are or are not an association member, to contribute to a new book that is being compiled right now called Security in Motion. Security in Motion will be numerous stories, incidents of private security officers on duty around the world. And if you've been involved in an incident or a situation during your career, whatever it might be, whether it be serious or funny, dangerous or not, if you would put something together, at least 200 words, and if you have a photo to go along with it, if you would mail it, email it to us at admin assist at privateofficer.com. Admin assist at privateofficer.com. You can become a contributor to Security in Motion by sending us your little news article, your little incident or situation, and any pictures that you might have. It will be published later in the fall of 2010, later this year, and be available at Amazon and numerous bookstores. The proceeds from any sales will go directly to the Private Officer Memorial Benevolent Fund to assist injured officers and families of those who have been killed in the line of duty. We invite you and we ask you sincerely to please put something together. Of course, be truthful about whatever happened, but if it's funny, if it's something hilarious, if it's something serious, if it's something dangerous that you've been involved in or you know somebody else, put together a little article, any pictures you might have, and email it to us at admin assist at privateofficer.com, and we will compile it together, and hopefully by the fall we will have a book called Security in Motion, and you will get a free copy for your contributions. You may have gotten an email, if you are on the email list, about the Hall of Fame, a press release that came out earlier this week. I talked to you on at least two different previous occasions during our shows about the new Hall of Fame. You know, everybody has a Hall of Fame, whether you're a National League baseball player or a football player or you are a minor league drag racer. Everybody these days has a Hall of Fame except private security. So our board of directors, myself, and several of our associates got together a number of months ago when we decided to initiate a Hall of Fame for private security. This security Hall of Fame, Security Officer Hall of Fame, is open to members and non-members of the association worldwide. So if you receive that email and you read it, we're asking that you'll send in any nominations that you might have, whether it be a coworker, someone that you used to work with, or even yourself. There's nothing wrong with, you know, nominating yourself if you've been involved in something that is worthy of being recognized for the rest of time in the Hall of Fame. The Private Officer Hall of Fame will be up and running this year. Nominations need to be submitted by April the 20th, and inductees will be announced April the 25th, 2010. And if you know of anybody, or if you yourself feel that you are worthy of this, please email it to us at admin assist at privateofficer.com, and be sure to include your name, the nominee's name, the reason why they're worthy of it, the incident, situation, or event, date, and the place that it occurred, their position at the time. Also include your name, phone number, and email so that we can get back with you for verification. Again, this is available to anyone in the security or law enforcement industry worldwide, member or non-member, it doesn't matter. Also, April the 25th, we will be announcing the quarterly awards that we do of security officers involved in heroic or life-saving, or above and beyond situations. And you will be honored with not only a certificate, But also, you'll be honored with a press release that will go out to the press. You'll be in the newspaper, and we will also have a gift for you. So, again, if you'd like to submit your name personally for recognition for an award, you can do that just by sending that information to adminassist@privateofficer.com. This week, as unfortunately every week, we do have some security officer deaths to tell you about, two in the line of duty and one off duty. So three security officers, three individuals, have died this week between Sunday and today, actually, because, between Wednesday and today, actually, because we announced on our last show of some other deaths. This week, a security officer in Alaska was killed in the last few days in a vehicle accident along the Alaskan pipeline. His name still has not been released, so I can't give you that information. We do know it was a vehicle accident. Also, a very sad and a very tragic death in Hempstead, New York. 22-year-old David Nestor Marino, working at a nightclub, was shot in the head when he opened the door to the club. We do not know the particulars, why it happened. We don't know if somebody was gunning down, the person who gunned him down was looking for him. We don't know if the shooting was directed at him. The police don't know either. They have no suspects. They have no motives in this case. David was 22, and he leaves behind his family in New York. We're very sorry for this tragic loss, and it's a senseless killing, and we have too many of those going on. In Pensacola, Florida, TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, assistant security manager for the Pensacola, Florida airport, was shot and killed at home by his 14-year-old son, if you can believe that. His son killed him. We have a lot of this going on in the U.S., a lot of children killing their parents. We had word that there had been some discipline problems going on, and at any rate, William Williams, the assistant TSA security manager, was killed. The 14-year-old is in custody and has been placed without bond in jail until trial. In West Palm Beach, Florida, a security officer was stabbed at a nightclub on Military Trail numerous times. Oscar Materna was stabbed. He is going to be okay, though he is critical. Police have arrested the suspect in the stabbing. A police officer death has occurred also overnight in Cleveland Heights, Ohio. Police officer Thomas Patton II was killed after he collapsed while chasing a suspect. Unfortunately, he was transported to the hospital, but he did not survive. And our condolences to his family and to that relatively small police department in the Cleveland metro area, Cleveland Heights Police Department, Ohio. If you are from Ohio, we ask you to contact that police department and pass along those condolences. In the news, very quickly, we have quite a bit of news, as always, to tell you about. It seems that in Reno County, Kansas, a man was before a judge on a paternity hearing. Judge Chambers said that he had to call deputies to his courtroom when he noticed that the man was becoming agitated and reaching toward his waistband. Police say that the man, Roberto Rincon, 29, had two, not one, but two loaded handguns with him. There's no question that this is outrageous. First of all, that he would bring the guns to the courtroom, but second of all, that somehow he slipped by security and they are looking into it. I can't really, speak to the security aspect of it because I don't know if they had x-ray machines, if they had security officers with metal wands, if they had access control. I'm sure that they did. It was a courthouse after all. But we have noticed that over the few years, last few years especially, many courthouses, schools, and public buildings are doing away with their security or doing away with part of their security as a money-saving deal because of the economy and because of budgets being so tight. And this is a terrible, terrible thing to do. It's going to lead to some serious incidents. This could have really gone sideways quickly had he pulled his handguns. He had two of them, and we could have been reading in the paper or on the news. We could have been hearing about a mass shooting and killing at the courthouse. Luckily, the judge didn't feel right about something about this man and called deputies into his courtroom, and they got this guy before anything tragic happened. In Gresham, Oregon, which is just outside of Portland, kind of a part of Portland, actually, there was a major organized crime wave going on in the upper-end retail shops of a local mall. Nordstrom's and Saks Fifth Avenue was being hit left and right by shoplifters who were grabbing armloads of designer jeans. They stole about $20,000 worth. Well, police and loss prevention agents nabbed these thugs, these big criminals. Turns out they're 11 teenagers that go to a local high school. The teenagers that call themselves the Mini Boys Gang are responsible for thousands of dollars of theft from the retailers. And they're in custody. Five of them were arrested and charged as adults. Six face juvenile court charges. In Connecticut, Nash and Tuckett, which is part just outside of New London, at a casino, police say MGM casino security officers spotted a man that didn't look right, looked out of place. They investigated. And guess what? The man had just burglarized the room. Melvin Wilson, 29, of Great Barrington, Mass., burglarized the room. All that he stole was some towels, the contents of a mini bar, some light bulbs, and some batteries from a remote control. The things that people steal are just beyond me. I've worked in loss prevention for 8 years, and I can tell you some stories. I just can't believe that the people would steal such petty items. Now the man faces felony burglary. He's in jail, and who knows? He could face prison because it is a felony. New Jersey, a security officer who took his girlfriend out for dinner found that someone had taken his credit card while he was at the restaurant, taking his information from a credit card and used it to rack up a bunch of purchases. Police say that security officer Roberto Gush, who works for DMS Security, got mad. He did report the incident to the police, but he took it a step further. He decided to investigate. He went to the locations where the credit card was used, and with his investigative work, he was able to come up with a suspect, notified police, and they arrested the man. So good work. And, you know, I've had this happen to myself, and it's very irritating. And evidently, he wasn't going to wait around for the police to capture the guy. He just did his detective work himself. In Florida, Lee County, Florida, a security officer at the Seminole Suites Hotel found three people breaking into a room. They stole $3,000 worth of stuff, TV, DVD, and so forth. He notified the sheriff's department, gave him a description of the suspects. Police apprehended and arrested the three people. So that's a good job there in Lee County, Florida, which is very South Florida. We also have some wacky news this week. Several. In Canton, Michigan, workers at a local Target store came in a few days ago to work, unlocked the store, and began their daily routine. When they stumbled upon a man who was drunk as a skunk in the store, drunk from drinking Listerine. Police say that he hid overnight in a restroom and that he went through the stock of Listerine. He drank it. Listerine has 27% alcohol, although it's not recommended to swallow. It is highly intoxicating if you drink it. Police charged the man with disorderly conduct and larceny, although I'm not sure why he wasn't charged with burglary. I don't know. In Brownsville, Texas, down near the Mexico border, it seems that a local judge went shopping at a Sam's Club to buy some diamond earrings for his wife. He got into a rather heated discussion about the price of the earrings with the clerk and was arrested by loss prevention for disorderly conduct. Somewhere between that point and the time he went to court, he was incarcerated into a mental health facility because evidently, you know, he wasn't acting right. And now he's suing Sam's and Walmart and the store manager and the loss prevention people and the police department and everybody that he can think of. And get this, he's suing them for poor customer service and for his arrest. He says that the arrest was negligent, grossly negligent, false imprisonment, defamation of character, and malicious prosecution. Now, this is a judge. Guess what? Soon after the lawsuit, police found him doing something that was disorderly, and he wound up on another mental health hold. So this will be an interesting case, and we will follow it in court and see what happens. Atlanta, Georgia. Here in big city USA, Atlanta, Georgia, they have nothing better to do with their money. But the public schools have hired a private investigation firm because evidently there's a large problem with cheating. 58 Atlanta public schools have a serious problem with cheating. So they've hired private investigators to investigate and find those cheaters by whatever means necessary. Right, we don't have anything else to spend our money on here in Atlanta. We have to hire PIs to look after our kids to see who's cheating on the test. Doesn't make sense. If you want to contact us, you can follow us on the web at Facebook Private Officer. If you're a Facebook person, we're right there with you, privateofficer.com on Facebook. Twitter, we tweet as often as possible. Twitter, you can catch us as Private Officer on Twitter. You can also join us on our own forum, social network, if you will, at privateofficer.ning.com, privateofficer.ning.com. We have a lot of interesting conversations, training, and topics. This is a great place for you to intermingle with security officers from around the country and around the world. We have security, we have loss prevention, we have campus police, we have police officers, we have deputy sheriffs on our forums. So if you want to network with other security officers, join privateofficer.ning.com. It's free. We're not going to charge you anything. You can email us 24/7. We do answer our emails about 23 hours a day at adminassist@privateofficer.com. Adminassist@privateofficer.com. Somebody's always monitoring emails. You can follow our news, which is updated daily, at privateofficernews@wordpress.com, privateofficer.wordpress.com. If you're wanting security news from around the world, you can go to securityworldnews@wordpress.com, and you will find us there. We'd like to quickly mention here that we have a lot of need for financial assistance to help us in our memorial benevolent services that we have for injured security officers. We have thousands of security officers seriously injured every year. Financially, we can't help them all, but we try to do our best. If you would like to donate to the Private Officer Memorial Benevolent Program, you can do that. Just go to our web, privateofficer.com, and click on the Memorial Fund page, and you can donate there. We definitely need your donations. We definitely need your assistance because without you, you know, we're not going to be able to help anyone. It's important. And if you're not a member of the association and you're listening today, or you have associates, coworkers that are not, we ask that you let them know about Private Officer International, and we ask they sign up because the more members that we have, the more services we will be able to offer our members, the more things we'll be able to do, the more programs we'll be able to start, and the better it will be for the security community as a whole. We're going to talk a little bit about the use of force, and we're going to get into that. We're not going to really teach too much about it because it would take several hours, and we just don't have the time to do that on this radio program, but we do want to hit some high notes with you. It is extremely important that you understand what use of force is all about. It's very important that you think about the consequences when using force. This week, we saw here in the U.S. a security officer who went to prison for shooting and killing a man who was intoxicated and who had been involved in a little bit of an incident. And we also saw another security officer, nightclub security officer, who was arrested for murder. So it's a problem. In a recent study here in the U.S., a private officer put together a study of 30 officer-involved shootings. This was a comparative study that mirrored private security and law enforcement. Police officers and security officers involved in similar shooting situations. Out of the 30 shootings, 67% of security officers was charged. They were arrested either for aggravated assault, if the person was alive, or murder, if the person didn't survive. I want you to think about that number. 67% of the time, the police, or in some cases, the prosecutor's office, found enough probable cause to believe that the security officer was wrong in the shooting, and they charged him with murder. On the other hand, law enforcement officers involved in similar shooting events were prosecuted only 11% of the time. 11% of the time, police were charged. The big difference really has a lot to do with courts and law enforcement and prosecutors just not believing that security officers are properly trained. They just don't believe that private security has a level of knowledge and training that law enforcement has. And so they believe law enforcement, they believe their actions was justified much more than they do private security. It's so important that you understand why you must have the training. Security companies who send their personnel to the firing range once a year for 50 rounds of target practice, basically, is not training. And even some states have requirements here in the U.S. That really, it's not enough. Most states require 4 hours of classroom, and some states require 8 hours of training for armed security personnel, and that's really not enough. I don't know what Canada and the UK and South Africa, Australia and Brazil, what they require. If you're listening to me in those countries, feel free to send me an email at radio@privateofficer.com and let me know what your training requirements in your country and states are. And if you have a link to those requirements, a link to the country or the state, security requirements, send that along. I'd love to review that for my knowledge. But here in the U.S., security officers lack enough training in the use of force. Earlier last week, I had a discussion with several security personnel who have been in the private security field for a long time. A substantial amount of time. Neither one of them could tell me the two levels of force recognized by the U.S. Supreme Court and the U.S. courts nationwide. They gave me answers like verbal commands. They gave me answers like deadly force, which was correct, but they didn't know. There are only two levels of force recognized by law here in the U.S. That is non-lethal force and lethal force. It's either deadly force or it's not. Now, you can sit there and you can argue with me all day long, all week long. You can send me nasty emails. But under the law, those are the two levels of forces recognized by the law here in the U.S. It's either lethal force where somebody dies or non-lethal force. Every incident and every situation, you have to make up your mind in a split second which one of those are the right amount of force to use. People often get confused with the progressions of force. They think those are the levels, but they're not. It's non-lethal force and lethal force. The progressions of force, basically there's five of them, depending on who your instructor is, they may say six. But the five progressions of force is verbal commands, hands-on, chemical spray, impact weapons, which now includes tasers, and deadly force. That's it. You're someplace on the scale of those progressions. You're either going to be at the minimal force, which is verbal commands, telling that person what to do, or you're going to be at the far end using deadly force, or somewhere in between. There's no other place to go. You're either using lethal force, deadly force, or not. There may be times when an incident or situation calls for deadly force immediately. Just like that, you may have to pull your weapon and shoot someone. At a split fraction of a second, the use of deadly force has to be used. There is no progression. You don't have a chance to have chemical spray or verbal commands or impact weapons. The man is armed and imminent danger is there, and you have to defend yourself or somebody else. That's deadly force. There are times when security officers, in fact, this week, the security officer who was arrested faced this situation. He thought that he needed to use deadly force, but it was not imminent danger. And the problem here in the U.S., as I'm sure it is the same elsewhere, private security officers often don't realize that perception is not always reality. You see, the adrenaline is flowing. There might be some fear. And sometimes there's a macho thing going on. I'm in uniform. I'm carrying the gun. I'm wearing the badge. You're not going to do that to me. You're not going to threaten me. You're not going to steal from me. You're not going to get away. I'm going to stop you, whatever I have to do. And so sometimes security officers use an excessive amount, and police officers too, by the way, use an excessive amount of force because of one of those things, adrenaline, possibly fear, sometimes the hero type attitude. Sometimes it's just, you know, I'm the guy in uniform. You're not going to get away. Perception is not always reality. Sometimes there is no real threat. There's no imminent danger. And so the use of deadly force is not warranted. And it's a decision that you have to make almost, you know, in such a fast amount of speed, just like that, that sometimes we make bad choices. That's why it's so important to have as much training as possible. We want to get a couple of simulators on the road, and we want to go place to place with simulators like the law enforcement agencies have, and we want to train security officers in real-life shooting events as real as you can get, because the target range does not do it. It does not put you in those positions. In the last 2 years, six security officers here in the U.S. have been sentenced to prison because of shooting incidents. I believe those security personnel thought they were doing the right thing. I believe that they feared for their life. I believe that they thought deadly force was the only way to go. Unfortunately, it wasn't. And now they face 10, 20, and in one case, one gentleman faces 40 years in prison. At his age, he will never get out. Even if he gets paroled, he'll never get out. And these were mistakes. These were because of poor training. These were because they, you know, either they had fear or adrenaline or their perception was off. Either you have imminent danger or you don't. What is imminent danger? Maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't understand. Imminent danger is when you are faced with a situation where you have no choice but to defend yourself or be killed. In a situation, in one of these situations where the security officer was sentenced to prison, he stood behind a car of an intoxicated driver. The driver put the vehicle in reverse. Well, guess what? You probably have time to move while he's putting it in reverse. You can hear the car go in reverse. You can see the reverse backup lights come on. If you stand there, that's not imminent danger. That's stupidity. If you let that person knowingly, if you're aware that he's backing up into you and you don't get out of the way, you're at fault if you shoot that person. And unfortunately, that's what happened. The security officer used deadly force against that driver, and he's now in prison. Another situation, almost exactly the same. Apartment security officers stopped some people playing the stereo too loud. They surrounded the car. The driver, a couple of teenagers, got scared. These guys were in half uniform, and they weren't in full uniform, and they were armed. And guess what? The driver hit the gas. And the security officers opened fire and killed the driver. The security officers are in prison for 40 years. One is in prison for 25 and one is in prison for 40. It wasn't imminent danger, even though the vehicle took off on them, even though they were in front and on the side of the vehicle, they had a chance to jump out of the way. They shouldn't have been standing there. That's not how you approach a vehicle. Again, that was poor training on their part. We'd like for you to join in on the conversation if you'd like to call us. We're going to invite you to call right now. Area code 347-426-3807. Again, that number, area code 347-426-3807. You can chime in, tell us what you think about deadly force. Tell us what you think about what we've said so far. Share any experiences that you've been involved in. Deadly force, reasonable force, lethal force. It's something that we are faced with every day in the security industry, as often, if not more often, than law enforcement. But if you use deadly force, if you use any type of force, there are consequences and liabilities that come with it. For many years, private security companies didn't have armed security personnel because they did not want the liability. They did not want the consequences. They did not want to be sued. They knew that one lawsuit could put them out of business. But as security became more and more popular, as the demand for armed security became more and more, and security agencies realized that they could make more money by charging a higher fee for armed security, they decided maybe the risk wasn't as high as they thought. Maybe the benefits of the higher hourly rates would offset the liability aspect of it. And so more and more security companies began offering armed security. And now you have armed security in many places where you don't really need armed security. Although I believe with the proper training, with the proper qualifications, that armed security is good. And there are many people in the security industry that should not be armed, but unfortunately, they meet the state requirements, minimal as they may be in their state. If you want to talk to us about this topic, call me now, 347-426-3807. We'd love to talk with you about this. If you think that I'm wrong, if you'd like to tell us your opinion, you can call right now. We are waiting for you. Our show is almost about to end. We have about 8 minutes left of this program. If you want more training, this is our largest module of training that we have at Private Officer, is the use of force and the liabilities that come with it and the consequences. We have a substantial course put together by some experts. We invite you to take it. It is extremely important that you know, if you are an armed security officer, it's extremely important to know what imminent danger is and what the consequences are. I'm not saying that you shouldn't use force or that you shouldn't use deadly force in situations that call for it, because you have to protect yourself. Security personnel these days are more proactive than ever before. In fact, in many areas, security personnel are police officers. They are special deputies. They are special police officers. And so we have to, because we are coming more involved in crimes in progress rather than just after the fact, we have to be prepared for that use of force to apprehend, to arrest, to defend ourselves and those that we're hired to protect. We have to be willing to use force if necessary. And you just have to know the limits. You have to know what type of force, the levels of force. You have to know the progressions of force, what to do and what not to do, when to do it and when not to do it. It's extremely important. So we invite you to take the course that we have, which we think is pretty good. It's an advanced level course on the use of force and the liabilities. Go to privateofficer.com, click on training. Also, in about 3 or 4 weeks, we have a new training series that will be available on CD. We're almost done with the process of getting it together, and it will teach you about not only the use of force, but laws of arrest, search and seizure laws, training on patrol technique, just scene size up, bomb awareness, drug situations, all sorts of things. You can go to privateofficer.com, click on our training division for more information about that. We have about 5 minutes left of our show today, and we're going to ask that you call us if you'd like to discuss anything about what we're talking about today, the use of force, or anything that has to do with Private Officer or security. 1-347-426-3807. Area code 347-426-3807. This coming week, we have several more good shows. We're going to have some guests on the shows. We're doing a show about retail security, which is, if you work in mall security, it's not quite like those movies that they've been making over the last couple of years, but it is much more like having a small police force in a small town, because everything that you can imagine goes on there. So we'll have a show coming up about that. If you'd like to be a guest on one of our shows, if you're a security director, a trainer, involved in law enforcement, or anything of the nature, please feel free to email us at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com, and we will get back with you. If you'd like more information about our chapters, which are opening up, or if you'd like to become a director of that chapter, you may email us also at privateofficer.com at adminassist@privateofficer.com. And let us know that you're interested in either information or that you'd like to be involved in that area chapter, and we will contact you as well. We have so much going on at Private Officer International. If you're not a member yet, you should be, because there are many benefits to membership. There is a lot of networking, training, a lot of opportunity. We're doing things that no other organization is doing worldwide. We know because people tell us all the time. People email us, people call us, and they say, we didn't know. We didn't know that there was something or someone out there doing these things. This is unheard of in the private security industry. So if you're not a member yet, we cordially invite you to go at privateofficer.com and look at the Security Association page and sign up today. You will receive many benefits. We have a lot going on and a lot more to come. If you'd like to join us, this will be my last time inviting you to call today at 347 area code 426-3807. That's area code 347-426-3807. If you'd like to partake in the conversation on the use of force or anything that has to do with private security or law enforcement, we invite you to call today. If you would like any information about anything going on here at Private Officer International, if you would like to bring up a suggestion, if you would like to bring up something that you'd like for us to talk about on the radio, or you'd like us to bring up some type of training, email me at adminassist or radio@privateofficer.com. We'll be happy to get right back with you. We'll be happy to assist you in any way that we can. Private Officer International has many different benefits, for members and non-members alike. If you're not sure if you should belong, if you're involved in private security, private investigations, retail security, campus police, law enforcement, or you're a supporter of security, law enforcement, the justice system, and you want to become a member, go to privateofficer.com and click on the International Security Association page, and you may enroll. You may apply to become a member. It's an open membership and available to anyone around the world. We have members now in about 8 countries, and it's growing every day, and we will continue to grow, I promise you. We've got so much going on at Private Officer. I don't have the time to tell you, but just go to our website, privateofficer.com. Well, our time today is just about over. We hope that you've enjoyed the show. You can catch us here every week, Sunday and Wednesday at 4 p.m. Now, we may be changing the schedule on April the 4th, which is Easter. We may schedule that for a day before or a day after. We're not quite sure, but we'll be announcing that in the next day or so, the next program. But you can catch us here on the radio live every Sunday and Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Central. We're also available anytime, anywhere, on demand. Let me also make this note very quickly. We had someone write in saying, we're not sure we can get you on the radio where we live. That's why we formatted this now into an internet program. So if you have internet access, you can reach us any place around the world just by going to privateofficer.com, click on the radio page, and then click on the Listen to Us Now tab, and we'll be there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I'm Rick McCann. I'm the founder and executive director of Private Officer International, a private security law enforcement organization based in Atlanta, Georgia. We're glad that you've been with us today. We hope that you've enjoyed the program. We look forward to hearing from you. Email us at any time. Call us. Write us. We'd love to hear from you. And until Wednesday at 4 p.m., We hope that you'll be safe, blessed, and we hope that you have a great Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday on the radio. For now, we'll see you soon.